From the Moen Broadcast Center at KPCC, this is The Frame. I'm John Horn. We are going to devote our entire show today to pop music, asking creators how they're coping in the age of COVID. We'll hear from singer-songwriter Bea Beeman, country musician Jesse Alexander, and A.J. Jackson, the lead singer from the band Saint Motel, which had to cancel its world tour.
You can't recreate the feeling you get with those rooms and when everyone connects in a certain way. But there is something exciting about trying to find out new ways to enhance that experience while we're all at home.
That's today in The Frame. We'll be right back. Welcome to The Frame. I'm John Horn. There are no movies in theaters, no sports, forget about plays and stand-up comedy. In LA County, you can't even go hiking anymore. But there's still music, a lot of it. And even if you can't see your favorite band do a live show, you can listen to their latest work. So today, The Frame is all music all the time. We're going to start with singer-songwriter Bea Beeman. He's a friend of the show and a friend of mine. Bea, how's it going?
Pretty good, considering.
So I want to ask you first, I know you've got a wife and a daughter. How are you managing with your family life and your creative side?
It's a new world, so we're all just taking it day by day, trying not to think weeks ahead, just days ahead. And I think a lot of people are in a similar situation of people who are able to work from home and also having to parent from home without school. It's a challenge, but it's been good to kind of just put a hat on and take the hat off for real. So I'll try to be a dad for real and not be like an absent dad sitting in the room staring at my computer screen working on music. But it's a balance, and I think we're starting to hit our stride on day 8 of no school, and it's going okay. But musicians are kind of a lucky group, I guess you could say, in terms of being able to still work on music.
So through social media, Instagram, whatever you do, what are you hearing from other musicians, and what are you finding is important for yourself to post and connect through social media?
One thing to not forget in all of this is that the music industry is more than the artists. It's also booking agents and managers and sound people and lighting people, and they are really out of work. You know, everybody's kind of scrambling, and I really feel for them because this is crazy. It's unprecedented for sure.
One of the things that I think is really interesting about what you've done is that you were a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of how people would listen to and access music. Your last album, Peace of Mind, was released as a podcast with each song as a standalone episode with conversations around it. You talked to other artists, leaders in different communities, basically a lot of smart people. What inspired that model?
You know, I've been around the world for 7 or 8 years, all over the world, and it's a way of life. I don't know if it's my preferred way of life, and especially after having a child, being at home was way more enticing than being in an airplane most of my life or being in a strange hotel or whatever just to play a 1-hour show. So I was thinking ahead, and people are consuming things in a different way now. And the podcast was something new and fresh. And my wife, who's also my manager, we brainstormed and thought that this was a good idea to try to create a new space for musicians in the podcast world, because media is constantly evolving, and I think people are moving that way too. And in this time of quarantine, people are having to reinvent themselves slightly, or, you know, think of new ways to make revenue, think of new ways to engage with people. And the podcast for me was a really exciting new way to meet people, talk to people who are outside of music, and also incorporate my music into it. And so now I'm thinking about kind of a new project in that space, hopefully. Still in the brainstorming stage of that, but now we got a lot of time.
We're talking with singer and songwriter Bea Beeman. I want to play a song from your most recent album. This song is called Brother, Can You Spare Some Peace of Mind? Dad Daddy drowned himself in wine. That song came out about a year ago when you were clearly obsessing over the crazy times we were living in then. What new meaning does a song like that have today?
I was thinking about that, actually. I was like, I like that song even more now. But I was really writing it more as a political thing, and now it's just a more universal thing. I mean, this is like the Black Plague sort of thing, and people online, I've been reading, like, there's a theory that Shakespeare wrote Macbeth and King Lear under quarantine for like 18 months or something. And so there's certainly a lot of time for at least creative people to buckle down and try to make something new. But yeah, we could all use some peace of mind. And, you know, I actually have been taking some time out of the day to find peace, like meditate or try to meditate. I'm not very good at it, but especially those first few days of no school, I was just like, I need something, and it's not drugs or drink, and I just needed some quiet time. Just even 5 minutes was helpful. The amount of news about coronavirus is absolutely crazy, so it's nice to put the phone down sometimes.
So the virus has obviously changed how you can work with other people and how you're kind of self-isolated. Does it change your priorities as a storyteller and what you want to talk about and sing about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about as a storyteller yet. I don't know if I've quite been like, oh, now I know what what to write about. But as a human being, and I think a lot of people probably feel a bit of this, as a human being, you kind of understand life in a different way that we haven't had to deal with in this country. Like we've seen people in Syria waiting in long queues for rice from the back of a truck. And we've never really had to do that here, at least in my lifetime. So going to the grocery store the past few weeks has been eye-opening for sure. And realizing how good we have had it and how good we still have it. We have electricity, water, internet, Netflix, all that stuff. I mean, we're pretty comfortable here. Imagine if all that was wiped away. Yeah, I mean, there's a bigger emphasis in my life on my family, on like joy, I guess, whatever, however you get joy, but just making the most of life. And I think this is, you know, teaching a lot of people lessons as to what is really important in their life and what they would spend their time doing. And that's the silver lining, I guess you could say.
B. Beeman is a singer and songwriter. You can find his music at Beeman.com. That's Bhiman.com. B, as we go out, I want to play another one of your songs because I think it's a good song for now. It's called Can't Nobody Stop Us. B, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, John.
Coming up next on The Frame, Nashville's Jesse Alexander and LA's Saint Motel. Very different musicians, but with the same problem, they can't tour. Welcome back to The Frame. I'm John Horn. Saint Motel is an LA-based band that was started by students who met in film school. And that cinematic background is obvious in their live shows. I recently saw them in San Francisco in one of their last concerts, and it was filled with video projections and multiple costume changes. And the film school connection also is reflected in the name of the band's albums. Their last two records are called Saint Motelevision and the original motion picture soundtrack. We caught up this week with the band's lead singer, AJ Jackson. Saint Motel's world tour was canceled by the coronavirus pandemic.
When we were in Seattle, we got there right as kind of the Kirkland emergency was happening. So in the paper, it was right, like when that show happened, it was kind of the forefront of outbreaks in the US. So we kind of felt the angst that night. But when we got back to LA and San Francisco, it felt like it hadn't quite hit the general psyche at that point.
What are your bandmates doing? What are the conversations you're having?
Yeah, I mean, we are all social distancing, and but yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like we ended the tour just days before we saw it. Like it was 50,000 plus people events, and then it was 20,000, and then it was 1,000, and we just barely missed those quotas as we saw everything get canceled, and then we had to postpone the European dates.
One of the things that struck me about what you've done in the past is in some ways you've almost kind of figured out how you can release music and experience music in a time of self-isolation. I was thinking about your 2016 album, Saint Motel Vision, and the VR and AR, or virtual reality and augmented reality experiences you added to that music. Tell me a little bit about that project, why it came about, and what you learned from it.
Yeah, so back in 2016, a few different friends from film school reached out about getting into virtual reality, and their production companies were kind of really jumping into it. And immediately, it seemed like a new world of creative possibilities, and got really excited. And but it was really fun, and it opened up some possibilities. Like you can look at the album, and you can literally go inside of it and dip your feet in the pool. So it was the goal always being, how can you enhance the experience, not distract from it? So that's kind of what the goal was for that. But it's interesting now that everyone's at home, and the Oculus Quest, and a lot of people are going into these virtual spaces, and that there's more possibility, and we're looking at ways to kind of take our tour that you saw in San Francisco, the motion picture show, and since we had to postpone the rest of the tour till the fall, we're looking at ways to kind of go into the virtual space again and see what we can do in the meantime to kind of connect people and to try and employ a music industry and creative people at the same time, and try to see if we can build something that takes the concept of YouTube live streaming or Instagram live streaming and maybe take it into a virtual space where you can actually be watching these shows next to your friends or strangers. And I don't know, I think there's some possibility there. We're kind of poking around it right now.
You could get a virtual beer and a virtual edible or something else to go along with it, and you could be
exactly.
You'd be on the floor.
Exactly. I mean, like there's something, like we did our first decision to do something in kind of social quarantine distancing realm. We did this movie club where, you know, the concept of the album is the original motion picture soundtrack, so we all watch a movie together. You know, and there's something about live streaming on YouTube and all these platforms that's amazing right now, and you can chat while it's happening. But imagine, like, the show you saw of ours in San Francisco, you know how we had those various scenes, right, through the mm-hmm. night? Like, we were on Mount Everest, and it was like a military battlefield, and we were in space and all that kind of stuff. Imagine if you're in the venue, and these kind of things, like mountains can rise up through the floor, or like, you know, the ceiling can disappear. You know, like there's these ways where you can feel you're in a venue and you're next to these people and you're experiencing this together, but it could also maybe even be enhanced in some ways.
There was a headline in the New York Times opinion section today: it's a perfect time to play video games and you shouldn't feel bad about it. Your recent single, A Good Song Never Dies, was released along with the PlayStation game MLB The Show. So it also feels like, in terms of gaming, that you guys are tied into something that, oddly enough, is really, really popular right now.
Yeah, I mean, video games has been a big part of this band's success. And it all started for us really internationally when we got featured repeatedly in the FIFA games. And, you know, we're signed out of the UK right during the last World Cup. And, you know, I guess soccer and football used our music a lot and introduced us to a lot of new worlds. And MLB The Show, it's just like, it's a similar idea. We're introducing the music to these completely new communities that might not have heard it before.
I want to play a bit of a track off your most recent EP, the original motion picture soundtrack, Part One. This song is called Van Horn.
Well, tell me, do you hate me, or do you want to date me? It's kind of hard to tell, because you're out.
You have a great title, Original Motion Picture Soundtrack. I assume there's no motion picture that the soundtrack goes to?
Yeah, that is a safe assumption. It's kind of feels like the movie's being created as we're making it, but the concept was a movie that doesn't exist. It's a soundtrack to a movie that doesn't exist.
And what does that mean in terms of how you write music? Are you picturing scenes? Are you picturing a story? I mean, you went to film school. Is it about three-act structure? How would you say that cinematic references or ideas influence the way you compose and perform a song?
Everything fit perfectly into the three-act structure. It seemed to kind of work on its own, where in part one, we kind of introduced the world and the characters, and you know, you get to learn the situation, and it's optimistic and upbeat, and you're kind of looking towards something. And towards the end with Save Me, there's like a call to action that kind of leaves you with the next part, which takes you kind of, part two takes the world as we know it and kind of turns it upside down. And then it ends with the big moment, with a song called The Moment, actually, that's kind of the big showdown, and that ends up maybe getting resolved in part three. As far as the concept working, it seemed to fit for a number of reasons. One, you know, we just left Saint Mo Television, and this felt, you know, like a progression towards something bigger and more extensive with the big screen. Also, at the same time, like you mentioned, tying into our roots as film school students. So it seemed to work.
I saw your show in San Francisco. There are a lot of costume changes. You crowd surf in an inflatable spaceship dressed as an astronaut. You guys have a lot of fun playing, and you really seem to enjoy it. What is it like not being able to do something that not only seems to give you joy, but certainly gave the audience so much happiness?
I think we keep thinking about it as it's just being postponed. This is just a temporary hiccup. But you know, at the same time, this might change the way people go out to big events for months after it's finally over too. This might change the psyche of being around crowds of people. But there's something that you probably heard me talk about on stage that is definitely, you can't recreate the feeling you get with those rooms and when everyone connects in a certain way. There's something that you get from that experience that you definitely can't recreate. But there is something exciting about trying to find out new ways to enhance that experience while we're all at home. There's definitely room for innovation right now that keeps me really excited. And I think, if anything, with these next couple months, I think it's going to lead to obviously changes in a lot of businesses, but I think in the music industry too, that might be kind of exciting and unintended, and definitely excited to scratch that and see what happens.
AJ Jackson's band is Saint Motel. Their most recent EP is called The Original Motion Picture Soundtrack Part 1. AJ, stay well and safe. Thanks for coming on the show.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Up next on The Frame, Nashville singer-songwriter Jessie Alexander, who's also stuck in her house. Welcome back to The Frame. I'm John Horn. Jessie Alexander is a Nashville-based songwriter. She's written hits for Blake Shelton, Miley Cyrus, Trisha Yearwood, and many more. Decatur County Road is her first solo album in 6 years. It's scheduled to drop this week. Alexander plans to unveil the album with a fancy release party from her backyard. When we connected over Skype, I played a video that she posted on her Twitter account. Now it's for people who can't watch your Twitter feed while they're listening to the radio, could you describe what's happening in your kitchen as you're singing this song?
Okay, so I have, you know, my first song for my record, Mama Drank, is out, and I rewrote the words to be a little more descriptive of what exactly is going on in my world, which is a whole lot of cleaning, a whole lot of breaking up fights. My kids are running around with guns. And by the way, I didn't have to stage any of this. The boys are playing army. The dog's barking. I'm like strung out, haven't brushed my hair in days, and I'm singing I Know Why My Mama Drank. It's just, you can't make this up. Sorry.
It's okay. But what you also wrote on social media, which I thought was really telling, you said, in the craziness of the world, music eases our nerves and brings us together. This song is the heart of the album. You're talking about the song Decatur County Red. It yes. helps remind me of my roots and brings me home. So I hope it does the same for you. So I'm going to ask you first about what music means to you right now in this moment.
Yeah, music obviously is a big part of every day of my life. In such a blue collar, you know, grind. In some ways, it has lost its charm and romance. In some ways, because obviously every day I get up, I try to write a song for an artist. It can feel a little, you know, surface level, I guess, at times. So for me, we kind of take all that away right now. So because we're not writing for artists, we're all kind of hunkered down. And so I'm really getting to dive into some old music. I've been spending mornings researching some of my favorite songs ever written and trying to learn the stories behind the songs just to find inspiration. I played live on a thing called Risky Jam the other night, which is Whiskey Jam here in Nashville with a bunch of friends. It's just, I guess everything's just, all the work aspect is out. And now it's just music from the heart, music from my soul. But it is, I will say, kind of strange having an album come out during this period.
And that's going to be interesting too, because you're going to do some sort of virtual launch party. Is that right?
Correct. I would love Friday to do what I was going to do at the Station Inn here in Nashville, and minus my friends, minus the fans in the flesh, you know, minus the cold beer. Well, we might have to bring in our own cold beer. Try to just have some feeling of a release party, because that's important for every artist. You know, we like to have that moment where it's out.
Let's listen to a little bit of the song, Decatur County Red.
I learned to drive a stick shift by the time I was 10. And I learned to clean a catfish and eat around the skin. And I learned me and Mom's kisses could heal anything that hurt. Better keep your feelings.
Now, I know full-grown adults who can't drive a stick shift. And I don't doubt that you learned how to drive one at the age of 10. When you're starting to knit together all of these personal memories, how does that story come together, and what is it you're trying to relate to your listeners?
Yeah, I can tell you every word of that song is true. And most of the songs on this record are autobiographical. My big job is to try to take the listener captive, you know, put them in this environment that I see. And I want you to smell the smoke. I want you to see the neon. I want you to feel the bar. That's kind of my job, you know, is to give you a vehicle somewhere or make you forget where you're at. But I will say this, the other thing that was cool about writing this record was a lot of times we don't know, let's say I'm writing a song for Tim McGraw and, you know, there's a line about a little house. Well, we don't know if his house is white or black or gray or whatever color his house is. That's why when you listen to radio and songs, sometimes they're real broad. But we have to do that. Whereas for this record, I could be as detail-oriented as I wanted, which was really fun and liberating because I don't get to do that very often.
I know a lot of songwriters would say that heartbreak is easier to write about than love, that sometimes the hardest things that happen in a life yield the best lyrics. And I'm wondering if you think about what's going on in the world now and all the struggles that so many people are having, do you have any idea of the kinds of songs that you might be compelled to write about what's happening right now?
Absolutely. I think that we gather song ideas, most song writers, we gather it by watching movies, reading books, having conversations, being lonely. I think it's going to be reflected in music. And I think that there's going to be a fresh energy. And I mean, everybody, the artists are going to be excited to get back in the studio. I just think there's going to be a lot of renewal.
Jesse Alexander is a singer and songwriter. Her new record is Decatur County Red. She joined us from her house in Franklin, Tennessee, outside of Nashville. Jesse, stay healthy and safe. And thanks for sharing your time with us.
Thank you for an awesome interview.
And that'll do it for today. But a quick note before we go, KPCC has raised more than 75% of our spring fundraising goal of $1 million, but we can't cross the finish line without you. Your financial support is vital to bringing you free and uninterrupted coverage of the coronavirus pandemic from NPR and KPCC. And if you donate now, you'll automatically be entered to win a brand new iPad Pro. The sweepstakes ends today, so please give now at kpcc.org. Thank you, and thanks for sharing your time with us. I'm John Horn. We're back here tomorrow at the Moen Broadcast Center. Holding it together, hoping we're